Our scripture today is found in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 31 to 40. And it is one we did not terribly long ago. A month, maybe two. I don't know. But let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this, your word, which we are about to read. We ask you, Lord, that our hearts are open, our ears, our minds, our spirits, to receive your word into our very selves. That your light might shine within us, changing us and molding us, that we may be evermore yours. We also ask for your grace and mercy to be with the sermon, that it too may be used for your glory, for whatever reason you desire. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for all that you are. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John 6, 31 to 40. Hear now God's word. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." Our scripture today is from our Bible study that we will be doing on Wednesday at 7. Now, this particular Bible study has a whole mess of scripture in it with lots of questions. So we'll be going over a lot of scripture on Wednesday. And it's titled in our Bible study, let me get back here to the title screen. There it is, Bread of Life. And so what this Bible study has us doing is looking through the Bible at the motif, is that the word? Theme? Are they the same thing? Theme and motif are similar, right? At the theme of bread in the Bible. Now, oftentimes, bread within our own collective consciousness is one of the things needed to survive, bread and water. Now, that's way too simplistic. You do bread and water, you're going to last maybe a month, maybe more, but that's about it. So you need more in this world than bread, vitamins, minerals, that sort of thing. But again, in our collective conscious, bread is such an important part of life. But there's also something else neat about bread. When we think about breaking bread, what else is involved in the breaking of bread? Of eating in general. There's this idea of being social. When you say that we're going to break bread, oftentimes we don't mean that it's going to happen individually, by ourselves, alone somewhere. Usually when we hear of breaking bread, it's sitting down to eat for a meal with one another. Many of us just had the opportunity to break bread with family and friends, where we gather together for Thanksgiving. How many of you, when you sat down to eat together at Thanksgiving, didn't talk about anything at all? How many of you can confess, it's okay, actually did talk to someone and you had food in your mouth. That's okay. Eating is so much more than just eating. Eating is enjoying one another's company. How many of you have grown up in a house where you ate together? Dinner, as often as possible. We try in our house and we do pretty good job. We don't always get it. Sometimes I say to Stephanie, quick, let's eat while the boys are busy. So we can have some time for one another. Eating isn't just an individual act that keeps our bodies alive. Eating can be, at times, especially in our society, so much more, a social act to not only keep our bodies alive, but keep our relationships strong. And when you look at the Bible, in times where bread was put there, the same thing was happening. People were dining together. They were eating. They were being together with one another. So when we read this about Jesus being the bread of life, it's not just so that I am saved, but Christ being the bread of life, we start to see that he's bringing a community to him. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, it said, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Again, not just as individuals, but as Israel, a community. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And Jesus says to them in one of his I am statements, and which are several in the book of John, Christ says, I am the bread of life. Within this moment, he's saying to them, whoever comes to me will never be hungry, whoever believes in me will never be thirsty, that Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus isn't just talking to individuals, but he wants those individuals to become more, to become a community. A community that gathers together, that eats with one another, that loves each other, and that follows Christ together. In the pastor world, pastors do visitations. You all know that. And one of the most popular visitation questions, at least of the 1950s, 40s, 60s. It's not said quite as much now, but one of the most popular visitation questions was, is it well, or how is it with your soul? You heard that question or something similar to it? How is it with your soul? So how are your feet doing? Right, because the soles are on the bottom of your feet? No? The sheep one was better, right? But we ask, how is it with your soul? And we hear this kind of as a mantra to Christianity in today's world. How am I doing? How am I living for Jesus Christ? How is my heart? How is my life? Am I saved? And when we start asking these questions, sometimes it starts becoming such an individualistic focus. How am I doing? Christ did indeed come to save individuals, but so that individuals may serve one another. The focus of Jesus' salvation, the bread of life which he gives, wasn't just given to one person at a time. It was given to all, so that all may approach the table together. This, when I think about Christmas being in at the beginning of the Advent season, as we are about to worship little baby Jesus within the manger, we remember that Christ came not just for some, not just for one, but Jesus came for all the world. So I pray that as a church, as people who proclaim ourselves as Christians, that we come together worshiping Christ and inviting others to worship Christ too this Christmas season. That the beautiful decorations, the yummy cookies, the presents, they're not just for individual others, but they're to proclaim Jesus Christ as our Savior, Christ as our hope, joy, peace, and love. Of course, Christmas is best done with one another and with Jesus Christ as our head. Share with you this final benediction from Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. Go in peace.